Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a hideous Hollywood horror show. LeBron's Lakers blown out and booed. What happens now in L.A.? We'll start there. Plus, Packers planning, making moves. Do they signal a decision in the offing? Is today the day for Aaron? We've got the answers. And will Wentz be one and done with the horseshoe? And if so, where do they and where does he go from here? Those are the questions. We've got all the answers as we get up with you. Starting right now, all by myself, but by no means alone on this Monday morning. Thanks for getting up with us, and look at the squad we got ready to roll today. Danny is fired up. Minkovich finally got some stuff behind him at his house. Legler's got basketball, and Darlington will be along as well. We begin with the absolute blowout of the night. LeBron and the Lakers taking on the Pelicans, and this one was hideous. First quarter, LeBron with the... What is that? Who's he throwing that to? Well, I guess Herbert Jones. And then defense optional? That's embarrassing. Not a great start for the Lakers, and it would just get worse. Second quarter, Russell Westbrook. What is that? Defense optional? Take a look at this. LeBron, he's back. Anybody else want to consider guarding CJ McCollum? Doesn't look that way. 41 seconds to go in the half. Lakers down a dozen and just getting worse. It's another turnover. It's Jones the other way. Lakers 16 turnovers in the first half. And then third quarter, they pick up right where they left off. Struggling to hang on to the ball. LeBron throwing it to no one in particular. Listen to the fans. Yeah, they were booing. I was booing, and I was 3,000 miles away. Later in the third, Pelicans up 28. And off a miss, DeAndre Jordan. What is this? Look at this pass. I really have no explanation. The Lakers lose huge. And after the game, there were far more questions than there were answers.
I don't have an answer from tonight. I mean, obviously, you talk about the future. I don't. That's for us all to figure out. I mean, you don't know what can happen in the next, you know, few weeks, but tonight, I mean, from the six minute point of the second quarter through the third, no answers. No, this season is definitely different.
Does the booing, like, you know, pretty loud, especially at the end of the game, does that stick with you? Like, how do you respond to that? Like,
nah.
You don't take that home with you?
Take it home for what?
I don't think about it.
One, take it home. Man, well, I got three beautiful kids at my house. My wife, I ain't taking it home. They can take their booing, they can take their. I ain't worried about that. Doesn't bother me none.
Okay, fair enough. Tim Legler, it's my job to come up with questions. I'm not even sure I know you don't have answers for what is it. How do we explain the way the Lakers look last night, and what does it mean?
I think the scary part for me, Greeny, is you watch them some nights, and certainly last night was one of those nights. You don't see a collective will, and that's the problem right now. We know that they've had some difficulties fitting in these pieces, and Russell Westbrook in particular, and trying to find his lane and be efficient. Anthony Davis has been out with injuries. We know those things, and all teams deal with those kinds of issues. But the other issue, their collective will, their body language, the way they give in to adversity so easily, those are the things that are much more alarming. If you're a Laker fan or if you're a coach on that coaching staff, those are the things that you should be able to control every night internally, individually, and they don't have that right now. When things start to go south in a game, it just collapses on them. And that is why when you look up and you take a look at the landscape in the Western Conference, there are just so many teams you watch that are better. They've got more talent, they've got better pieces that fit, and they fight every night, and that's not a way that I can describe the Lakers. None of those things. This team looks like they're toast. I think they're still going to make the play-in, but I just don't know if they're going to get out of that play-in and actually make their way into a seven-game series.
And even if they did, the idea that they could be competitive, to your point, seems crazy. The only thing you hang your hat on is If and when they get Anthony Davis back and he is fully healthy, can he make all of the difference? That's the one piece that isn't there right now and has been missing so much of this season. Can that possibly be enough to change everything?
It can be enough to change to the extent you'll say, yes, I can definitely now see them escaping the play. And you're talking about, you know, getting past Minnesota, potentially the Clippers, New Orleans. Yes, no question there. But when you start talking about coming from wherever you're going to have to come from, a 7 or 8 spot, play teams like Golden State or Phoenix or play a Memphis team. Look at what's going on with Denver and Dallas, how good those teams have been. No, you just don't see them escaping a 7-game series. You know, one of the problems in trying to figure this out is Anthony Davis is so talented on both ends of the floor that you need to see it for an extended period of time to have a better idea. He's going to make an enormous difference, but I just think when you talk about the teams they would have to beat in a 7-game series, even Anthony Davis coming in here late to try to save the day, I don't think is enough. And I don't think, you know, it's amazing. I'm writing off a team potentially that's got LeBron James and Anthony Davis on it if he's healthy, but those teams at the top of the West are just significantly better in every facet.
That's 100% right. This was a season, I'll remind you, that began with the Lakers as the favorites to win the West. At this point, if they missed the playoffs entirely, it would not be a surprise. Meanwhile, on the other side of the country, how good are the Sixers? Game of the day, it was Harden at the Garden. It was our early game on ABC, and these guys put on a show. And by these guys, I mean Harden and Embiid. Take a look early here. Julius Randle only has one hand. Harden knows that, so he's going to steal it and then look at that. Leaving it for Embiid. These guys have played 2 games together, and the chemistry already looks good. They just look so comfortable, and they were just getting started. Closing seconds of the first. You know James Harden can do this. He was doing it all early. He actually had a huge first half. He had 15 points and 10 assists in the first half. He's the first Sixer to have that in any half since Allen Iverson in 2006. Third quarter, Sixers were leading by 6, and now they're getting ready to put it away. Embiid with a give and go. Again, I bear in mind, this is the second game these two have played together, but look how easy they're making that look. Into the fourth quarter we go, Harden and Embiid again. Harden would go for 29 points, 16 assists, 10 boards. Embiid had 37-9. Big win, Philly. And afterward, Embiid energized.
Unstoppable. Man, what are you really going to do? He's a great passer, and obviously I got someone that attracts a lot of attention to. So you got to make a decision. Do you, stay on me or do you stay on them?
All right, Legg, so he used the word unstoppable. So through 2 games, it's kind of hard to disagree. You've got some tape on just how good this duo has looked so far.
Yeah, listen, we've talked a lot about the two-man game as soon as they made this trade and what that's going to look like. And they can do things individually, but when you pair them up with a particular set, Greeny, you know, the options that you have at your disposal and the things that you're reading, when you put these guys in a pick and roll and you just take a look at the attention James Harden commands, coming off, attracting 3 people, you've got enough shooting on the court, so you've got guys connected to shooters that are afraid now to bump and help on Embiid. And then the final part of it is James Harden can make any pass he has to, and this is a great example. Mitchell Robinson jumps in the air. You can't throw this ball over the top for a lob. It's going to get deflected. So what's left? The bounce pass, pocket pass to Embiid. And then you see another example. The great thing about James Harden, the late find. He is the best in the league, and I put Luka Doncic in this category, at finding guys at the last second, and he gives you these soft passes that bigs can handle as they're rolling to the rim. So when you look at the number of defenders that it's going to take to deal with these two guys in a two-man game, you're left with guys on the perimeter taking practice shots. Right now, this is the most potent offensive duo that this league has, and as a result, everybody that plays them has got to try to figure out a way to come up with a game plan and have enough personnel to deal with what these two guys bring to the table when you pair them up in a ball screen.
So quickly, and we'll have more time as the show goes on to talk about it, you got Miami, you got Chicago, you got Milwaukee, you have whatever Brooklyn winds up looking like when they get everybody back. As of this moment, are the Sixers the team to beat in the East?
I believe they are. As soon as that trade went down, I said this team's ceiling is the highest because of the combination of this kind of offense at the top of your roster. Nobody else can match it because these two guys completely overwhelm you physically. If there's one caveat to that, Greeny, you know, both of these players and their head coach have had some issues in the postseason. Mm-hmm. You're getting this thing across the finish line, even as number one seeds. James Harden was on that in Houston, and Embiid was on a team like that in Philly. Doc Rivers has had some 3-1 leads disappear in series. They have a lot to prove in the postseason, but the ceiling of these two players, to me, that makes them the team to beat right now.
All right, Legs, stay close by. We'll have more from you a little bit later. More from Jay will join us a little bit later as well. But the other enormous story to keep an eye on, of course, involves that man. The NFL, a new week begins, and Aaron Rodgers, we continue to wait. And the Packers continue to act. They restructured some more contracts. Field Yates reporting this week they converted about $11.5 million of David Bakhtiari's compensation into a signing bonus. And so we sit here trying to read the tea leaves on all of that, and the football crew is ready to go here. Danny, Ninko, and Jeff Darlington, I will start with you. As the week begins, we see the Packers making these moves. What do they mean, and what are we hearing?
Well, Greeny, look, based on all of my conversations over the last several weeks, whether it's with people in the Packers organization, people close to Rodgers, people on other teams who are interested in Rodgers, this still feels like the momentum is decisively leaning toward Aaron Rodgers returning to Green Bay. And this goes back to the day that they hired Tom Clemens as the quarterback's coach. That was the big one here. That was the first shoe to drop, essentially saying that the Packers are going to do the things that Aaron Rodgers wants to see happen. Everybody I've talked to have said that the conversations since the end of this season have been positive and optimistic. If they get Devontae Adams done, I would imagine that there'd be some reassurances that Randall Cobb will be back. And then, of course, the contract, which the Packers also are willing to adjust to make Aaron Rodgers happy. So, again, as long as things don't go sideways, Greeny, this still feels to me like Aaron Rodgers will return to the Packers.
All right. And so, Dan Orlovsky, as you hear that, and, I mean, we've gone back and forth on this thing so many times in so many different ways. What would be next then to you? If the objective here is for Rodgers and the Packers to finally get this thing for the first time in a decade over the finish line, are they ready to do it now, or is there more work to be done?
There's more work to be done. The very next step would be to trade Jordan Love and to see what kind of value you can get out of him if Aaron Rodgers is going to come back. So I think Aaron Rodgers goes back to Green Bay. I think Aaron Rodgers should go back to Green Bay. I think it's his best place for two reasons. Individual success, which we know is important to him, is important to every great. And then team success. I honestly believe the best chance for him to finally win that second Super Bowl is in Green Bay unequivocally. Now, if that happens, if and when Aaron Rodgers comes back, I do think there's a couple things that need to happen. Number one, like I said, trade Jordan Love. Understand that the decision to draft him maybe wasn't a mistake, but it's not providing any value to your football team. So see what you can get for him right now. A second or a third round pick, something. If you don't believe that he's your guy and you're not willing to move on from Aaron Rodgers right now for his future, then invest in the now while utilizing him as an asset to go get more picks for this year's draft. I think they need to get somebody as a difference maker opposite Devontae Adams. Not for the regular season, but it does show in the playoffs. Not only for teams paying attention to Devontae, but for some, it feels like Aaron is so dependent on Devontae in the playoffs. They got to get a difference maker in their front seven on defense. That's been for like 3 years now. I don't care if it's DeMario Davis, somebody. And then in the playoffs, Aaron's going to have to play his 3 or 4 best game stretch of that season. That's what needs to happen for them to win their Super Bowl.
Right, we'll see. Again, we are waiting. There's no reason to think it shouldn't happen any day, any minute here. Ninko, how about you? Where do you stand on this, Rodgers, as a new week begins?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the best place for him is Green Bay. And if you're Green Bay, you go out of your way, that is, to tell everyone, all the fan base, look, we want Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is our guy. We're going to do whatever it takes. And let me think. Have I ever seen a place where they had a Hall of Fame quarterback and they drafted somebody pretty high and then they traded him away? New England, right? So trade away Love. Yeah. Get as many picks as you can. Go out and try and build the roster for Aaron Rodgers. We know Aaron Rodgers, yeah, he's had the drought, yada, yada, yada. But the best chance for you to get to a Super Bowl is with that man at quarterback. We all know this is a quarterback-driven league. There ain't no way they're getting to the Super Bowl with anybody else than Aaron Rodgers. So you keep Aaron Rodgers, and you hope you can get it done.
It's a good point. I mean, the Patriots once traded away Jimmy Garoppolo, and it all kind of worked. And I like all this. Jeff, sit by on this. We have much more to do. I got to take a quick break, but there's a lot more to be said about this. A very busy Monday morning that we have working for you here. Coming up, will it be one and done for Carson in Indy? Could he be someone's backup next year? We have a lot to say about this. Don't miss it. Plus, Micah Parsons had some stuff to say. Told us exactly what went wrong in Dallas. The question is, can they fix it? We've got all the answers. Let's get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, or you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' West Side Story, streaming March 2nd on Disney Plus. All right, busy week we begin here. Let's run the hurry up, Jeff Darlington, beginning with the news on Michael Thomas.
Let's do it, Greeny. Michael Thomas, restructuring his contract, took to Instagram with this quote on Sunday: "A fresh start isn't a new place, it's a mindset." So a year after there was some adversity, some turmoil about him with the team and timing on his surgery, ultimately looks like everything is kumbaya at the moment. Doesn't look like there's going to be any trade at this point because his $14 million is guaranteed for 2022 now. That means Michael Thomas will be playing for the Saints in 2022. Overtime rules, this one will get people talking. We got the Chiefs and the Bills you're seeing here. The Chiefs got the ball in overtime. Took them one possession to go down the score. Bills never got on the field again. The Indianapolis Colts are putting forward a proposal for the competition committee, which will meet in Indianapolis this week. That proposal would guarantee each team gets a possession in overtime. So could be a but require 24 of 32 teams to vote on it in order for that rule to get enacted. Carson Wentz, nothing really new just yet here, but we will keep a very close eye on this. This could be one of the big shoes to drop in the offseason, whether he is traded or released. You see there, Chris Mortensen has been reporting this. I continue to hear it. It does not feel like Carson Wentz will be in Indianapolis in 2022 unless something dramatically changes. So we'll keep an eye on that one for now. One of the big shoes that we'll be waiting to see happen in this quarterback carousel, Greeny.
Well, that's really good stuff. I want to come back to the overtime stuff as well a little bit later in the show because I think fans do care a lot about that. But let's start with Wentz. And look, Dan, I mean, your history with him is well known. That's a guy you've believed in for a long time. There have been some high highs and some very low lows. But the question, I think, is pretty simple as you hear the way Jeff just framed that. Should Carson Wentz be Indy's starting quarterback week one of next season, Dan? Yes or no?
Yes, unless their starting quarterback is Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers. Because those are the only two available guys on the market that are no-brainer upgrades. There's nobody else in the NFL that is a no-brainer upgrade in comparison to Carson Wentz. Listen, Carson Wentz last year was top 15, okay? Top 15 in passer rating, QBR, touchdown, and yards. He's a top 15 quarterback at worst. Hey, that's what he is. I mean, he threw for 28 touchdowns and 7 interceptions last year. Everyone is only looking at him in his performance against Jacksonville, and I was very outspoken that it wasn't good enough. But who in the NFL is a better player at the position that's available? Who are you going to tell me that? And I don't care who their quarterback is next year, even if it's Aaron Rodgers. You better get better wide receivers, because their wide receivers are bottom five in the NFL unit-wise. So I think he should be. I think it's a no-brainer.
Okay, I did not mean to laugh at you. I was laughing at Ninko's face because...
Ninko, be careful here. Be careful here.
Nink,
this is a tree you might not want to bark up.
Listen, okay, the Colts, number one, they had a running back that was on pace to be the MVP. They have an offensive line. The offensive line, they could just pave the way for anybody. So let's get back to Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz had his opportunity this year. He didn't take advantage of that opportunity. If the Colts and the Eagles would have looked at this trade, and the Eagles look at it and say, okay, I'm going to take this Carson Wentz pick. I'm going to trade up for Smith from Alabama. I'm going to have a mid-teens first-round pick in 2022. I'm going to make the playoffs, and we're going to have our future quarterback, and the Colts won't make the playoffs? Yeah, we win. We win that one. So when you look at the Colts, they're set up to win now because they have, number one, a good defense. Number two, a great offensive line. Number three, a great running game. What are they missing? A down-the-field accurate passer that can evaluate what the defense shows them, check accordingly, and run the proper play. They need a guy like Jimmy G to come in there to help them run that offense, make accurate passes down the field, because Carson Wentz throwing the football, you can say all the stats you want. What is the one issue?
Doug.
What's the one issue Carson Wentz has? Accuracy in the pocket, throwing the football down the field, he's had a bunch of injuries.
Yeah.
He's had a bunch of injuries.
Have been
Ninko,
legendary. Let me let Danny respond to that. Dan.
Ninko, I'm going to ask
Carson Wentz or Jimmy G right now.
It's not even close. Carson Wentz. What are we talking? What are we doing? All right, first of all, Ninko, I love you, but God bless I have to do this. Number one, they are bottom 10 offensive line in pass protection. The Colts have a phenomenal run game offensive line-wise. Bad protection. Number two, their number two receiver. Their number two receiver is the 70th best receiver in the NFL. 70th. Number three, Jimmy Garoppolo's best season in 2019 is more representative of Carson Wentz's 2019 season, which is the worst. Carson Wentz has four seasons that are better than Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo last year threw for 20 touchdowns and 12 picks. A better passer?
I'm going
than Carson? What the heck are you talking about, dude?
Yes, better passer. Carson Wentz, if the GM for the Colts wouldn't have come out and not stood by his starting quarterback.
Injury issues.
And when you have
injury
issues, guess what?
Does too.
You know what?
You're a little skittish.
As I have to throw this to a break, Dan, the place you've been able to take your voice this morning in defense of Carson Wentz has been noted and appreciated. It's quite remarkable.
And I can say,
Jeff, we're going to have to get in the middle of these two. We will come back to this as we go. We got some spirit working on this Monday morning. As we continue, much more on the Hollywood Horror Show. It was a nightmare in L.A. Boo birds for Bron and the Lakers. What the actual heck? Jay Will is in our studio with his reaction. Plus, Russell Wilson again changes his avatar. What does this mean? Is he leaving Seattle? And if so, where is he going? We've got all the answers. You're watching Get Up on ESPN, where this morning we're having some fun.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on a very busy Monday on Get Up, and we opened with this. The Lakers hitting a new low last night, just embarrassed at home by the Pelicans. 123-95, L.A. loudly booed throughout the night by their fans. Once again, in case you're just joining us, here were LeBron James and Russell Westbrook after what was a humiliating night at home.
I don't have an answer from tonight. I mean, obviously, you talk about the future. That's for us all to figure out. I mean, you don't know what can happen in the next, you know, few weeks. But tonight, I mean, from the six-minute point of the second quarter through the third, no answers. No, this season is definitely different.
Does the booing, pretty loud, especially at the end of the game, does that stick with you? Like, how do you respond to that? Like,
nah.
You don't take that home with you?
Take it home? For what?
I don't think about it.
One.
Take it home. Man, well, I got three beautiful kids at my house. My wife, I ain't taking it home. They can take their boo and they can take their home. I ain't worried about that. Doesn't bother me none.
Okay, so Jay Will makes his way over from ESPN Radio. What? I mean, where do we begin?
Well, I mean, there's some pretty incriminating evidence out there about LeBron James, Trevor Ariza, and Russell Westbrook talking trash back to Laker fans, right? And it's interesting when they're on the road to do things like that, but doing that at home is not good. And when you lose to the Clippers in the fashion that they did Friday night, I watched you guys call the game, mm-hmm. right? Controversial call down the stretch. The lack of sense of urgency that you had in the game against the Pelicans, a team that is 2.5 games behind you, vying for that play-in tournament spot, is just so revealing to me. You never see LeBron James teams do that. And look how they quit on some of these plays, all right? The shot goes up, and I get that Melo does his three, you know, hits his head a couple times. But this, everybody getting beat back in transition, not even seeing the ball from Melo. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to see another one from LeBron James, okay? Pushing the ball down, get stripped, that's fine. I get that LeBron James has to do a lot. 34-33, you talk about second quarter, 6:49 left. Get back into play, LeBron. Where's LeBron? Where's LeBron? Where's LeBron? Oh, there he is, goaltending. And then the last play, just simple miscommunication between LeBron. It was not even miscommunication. His man is wide open. Now watch, he doesn't even make the effort to get out there. Russell's like, what the hell is going on? Should I go out there? I think, I'm not paying this all on LeBron James. But I think when there's a lack of sense of urgency about the position they're in, it looks like this Lakers team has honestly quit. It seems like they've quit. And they disrespected the game of basketball last night.
Certainly for last night, they did.
For sure.
That's an embarrassing performance. Can anything turn it around? At this point, they look like a team that they'll probably sort of limp into the play-in tournament. That's a crapshoot, so you never know. But even if they get out of that, they would have no chance in the first round. Is there anything you could see happening that would change that?
No. I mean, sometimes you just have to believe people when they tell you who they are.
Yeah.
And this is who the Lakers are right now. Now, could they get through a play-in tournament scenario? Potentially, yes, with Anthony Davis back. But there's nothing about this team and watching them play, watching the way they execute, watching through all the off-court drama they're witnessing right mm-hmm. now. I mean, even hearing LeBron James talk about, yeah, I got trust and confidence in this organization. When you think about Jeannie, Linda, Kurt, didn't mention Rob Pelinka's name. There's a lot of stuff going on here, a lot to unpack. I don't have any confidence in them at all.
I mean, every other day, there's a different storyline. Like sometimes that comes with the Lakers, and it comes with LeBron. But right now, it's just a disaster for the Lakers. Let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum, from the west to the east and from the bottom to the top. The Sixers look spectacular. It's hard to believe as you watch Embiid and Harden play that was only their second game together yesterday at the Garden. Joel Embiid had 37. Harden had a huge triple-double, not just numbers, but 29 points, 10 boards, 16 assists. I mean, he filled up the stat sheet, and after the game, Embiid said that they are unstoppable. Kind of hard to argue. What do you see right now when you see those two guys?
Well, I think this is one of the most dynamic duels we've had in the game of basketball, especially pick and roll. I said, since John Stockton and Karl Malone. Now, they did play against the Minnesota Timberwolves and the New York Knicks.
Right.
So I want to put that into perspective. So this is not playoff basketball when the court becomes more shrunk and guys rotate different defensively. But I don't know how you realistically do stop this. And also for Joel Embiid, 36 points, went to the free throw line 27 times.
Right.
27 times. So James Harden in that pick and roll scenario makes the situation so much easier. But mark my words, this comes down to Doc Rivers and strategy down the stretch when you get into playoffs. It's going to work in the regular season,
But if it doesn't start working in playoffs, can he pivot and can he put them in other scenarios to make them successful? That's going to be the biggest challenge for the 76ers.
Right, we're going to have Miami play Chicago tonight. That's for the top spot in the East right now. You have those two teams. You have whatever Brooklyn becomes when they get their guys back. Cleveland's had a very good year. Who am I forgetting? Boston is
Boston's coming up.
A bunch of really good teams. Milwaukee, obviously the defending champs with Giannis. Right now, are the Sixers the team to beat in the East?
Yes. Right now, the Sixers are the team to beat in the East. But there is a huge target, and the target isn't on James or Joel. I'm just trying to tell you again how Doc Rivers activates these two.
Yeah.
When you get into playoff basketball, we all know that the scouting report becomes even more enhanced, will be the biggest question around this team's success.
Okay, we will see about all of them in the East. And then before I let you run back to radio, I just want everyone, in case you didn't see Saturday night, this move from Ja Morant. Jay, how do we describe this?
Greeny, this is, I rank my top three most box office guards to watch, players to watch in the NBA. I had Kyrie number three, I had Steph Curry number two, and I got Ja Morant number one. I mean, a reverse 360, think about it, you usually finish that with your left hand, he finishes it with his inside right hand in a game for 46 points to beat the Bulls on the road. What are you talking, it's crazy.
And he did it in Chicago, significant, as in his third year. Once upon a time in Chicago, in his third year, Derrick Rose was the MVP of the league. Mm-hmm. And that's the guy this guy reminds you of, right? He is Derrick Rose. You think back to Derrick Rose when Rose was the MVP. Just remember how spectacular he was before he started getting hurt. That's what Morant reminds me of.
He has Derrick Rose athletic ability and more of an AI body. You know, even meet AI. AI is like 6'1", 6'2", a buck 85. You're like, how does that, can I blow you? Like, but yes, like that body type, and he's fearless with his attack and reckless abandon to the rim. I've never seen a player at this size, as athletic, with the dexterity to finish, as purpose-driven as he is.
Well, you said it last week. Do not overlook Memphis in
NBA
the West.
Finals,
we
man.
Have treated that thing like a two-man or two-horse race since the beginning with Golden State and Phoenix. Do not overlook Memphis. All right, Jay's got to get back on the radio. Thank you, my man.
You
outstanding, as always. By the way, women's basketball, big Monday matchup coming your way tonight on ESPN2 and the app. The top teams in the Big 12 squaring off as number 5 Baylor takes on number 9 Iowa State. Our coverage will begin at 7 o'clock Eastern time. Now, back to the NFL and the future of Russell Wilson. That is his avatar right now. And that is significant because it keeps on changing. At one point, the avatar was himself in a Seahawks uniform. That's what it usually has been over all the many years. And then he changed it last week to himself in high school. And now he's changed it again to a picture of his family. Let's go through them again. That was the first one, the original one. Then last week he changed it to this. And now all of a sudden he's changed it again to his family. Now there's obviously nothing wrong with him having his avatar be a picture of his family. But he is also an extremely savvy man, Jeff Darlington. So he's well aware that Greeny and GetUp are going to seize on that immediately and say, Jeff Darlington, should we be interpreting this as a subtle signal that Russell Wilson wants out of Seattle?
First of all, can there be a disclaimer for all athletes now? Like, if you do scrub your profile of your team's organization, we're going to talk about it. So you can't get upset when we do. Going forward, maybe you can now, but going forward. But I would still point to a tweet from Adam Schefter in February 25th, so exactly a year ago. He said, Russell Wilson has told the Seahawks he wants to play in Seattle, but if a trade were considered, the only teams he would go to are the Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, and Bears. His agent, Mark Rogers, said on the record. Mm-hmm. So we don't really need to look at avatars or profiles on Instagram to understand the potential direction Russell Wilson could go. Last year, he said pretty publicly that he'd consider going to these teams if traded. So we know where this is at. We know where it stands. And quite honestly, I don't need Twitter or Instagram to kind of understand the vibes and the momentum of where this thing is headed.
To be clear, though, those four teams, three of them are, well, at least two of them are certainly no longer in the conversation. Dallas is no longer in the conversation, and the Bears are no longer in the conversation. I wouldn't think the Raiders are in the conversation either, but I guess you never know. Derek Carr had a fantastic year. New Orleans could be very much in the. Should we be entertaining the possibility of other teams, though, I guess, Jeff, is what I'm trying to ask you.
Yeah, to be very clear, I point toward that tweet just to sort of illustrate exactly how this thing went down last year. I think the teams will change dramatically. In fact, they did last year when the Bears started to show interest, and all of a sudden it was like, yeah, you know what? I don't want to go to the Bears. Okay. So the list of teams certainly will change. The point is that when you start looking in that direction, you're halfway out the door already.
So Danny, what do you think of this? You were telling me this morning you have an interesting perspective and maybe an interesting team to throw into the mix. What are your thoughts?
I think there's only two teams that make sense to even attempt to trade for Russell Wilson. It's the New York Giants and the Philadelphia Eagles. That's because they have people and picks. Like, if you're Seattle, it's not only, okay, we have to find the next answer at quarterback in replacement of Russell Wilson, but you want to get value for the type of player he is. And if you're the Giants, you go, well, we've got the fifth and the seventh pick of this year's draft, and we can give you Daniel Jones. Maybe Seattle as an organization thinks highly of Daniel Jones, and they go, we have the fifth and seventh pick, and we love a Malik Willis out of Liberty or a Matt Corral out of Ole Miss, so we'll take him this year. Or if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, we could say, we'll give you Jalen Hurts. We'll give you the, I think they have the 15th, the 16th, and the 19th pick of this year's draft. Great. So then I have the ability to recoup the talent of our football team. That's because the thought process is, well, somebody has to go get Russell Wilson and do what last year the Rams did or 2 years ago the Bucks did. But if I'm Seattle and you're Tennessee and you go, Tennessee, I'll give you our next four first-round picks. I'm like, I don't care about your four first-round picks. They're going to be the 28th pick of the draft with Russell Wilson. And the same with Cleveland. We'll give you a bunch of first-round picks. Don't care. They're going to be like the 26th pick of the draft. So there's no value in that for me. So I think those are the only two teams that I can sit here and make sense. And I'm not even sold on either of those making a ton of justifiable sense when it comes to those trades.
That makes sense. But we can live in a world where we have some fun here, Ninko. So give me a place that Russell, you could put Russell Wilson on right now and you will say that team could go to the Super Bowl. Right this minute, that becomes a Super Bowl team with Russell Wilson at quarterback. Who you got, Nink?
I think the Pittsburgh Steelers could be a Super Bowl team depending on, look, you look at the team the way they are right now. Number one, they got a great defense. You got T.J. Watt, Defensive Player of the Year. So that defense is solid. Then you look at the offensive side of the football. They have a good running game. They have some big receivers. So if you were able to put Russell Wilson with Mike Tomlin in that culture, I think that they would have a lot of success. Because if you're Russell Wilson, you have to also look at these other teams and say, am I going to help my career or am I going to hurt my career by going to a team that's trying to rebuild and transition with a new head coach and a year after year of kind of just mediocrity, right? They're just right in the middle. They're never really doing anything. And the Steelers, they need a quarterback. They're probably a quarterback and a little bit of offensive line help away from going deep into the playoffs.
I think that's right. Go ahead, Danny, quick.
I don't think that the Steelers roster is all that different from Seattle's roster. I don't think the Steelers defense is as good as the kind of nostalgic belief of it that we have. And I don't think their offensive line is any better than Seattle. Seattle's not in a great spot, Greeny. They're not. Because if we're being honest about the Seattle Seahawks, they have to say, are we better than San Francisco? No. Are we better than the Rams? No. Are we better than the Cardinals? No. They are very much so in a rebuild. So they're in a tough spot because they have a great quarterback, but they don't have a great roster. And that's why I can sit here and understand them considering teams that come to them with trade options. I just think the teams are small.
Okay, we'll leave it there for the moment, but this is another one to keep an eye on, the two big quarterbacks that we could see moving, and it could happen anytime. In the meantime, as we roll forward, much more to do today. Coming up, Micah Parsons tells us exactly what went wrong in Dallas. Can it be fixed? We'll tell you exactly what needs to change for that team to make a Super Bowl run next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, we continue here on Get Up, and we have a significant developing story. In just the last few moments, Adam Schefter tweeted a letter, a statement from the agent of Kyler Murray, Eric Burkhardt, and you were seeing just a little bit of it on your screen. But I am reading through this letter, and candidly, it's kind of nuts. And basically, it begins with the agent saying, Kyler absolutely wants to be the Cardinals' long-term quarterback. He desperately wants to win the Super Bowl. But then it goes on for the agent to make the point that in order for this to happen, the Cardinals need to make a significant financial commitment in Kyler Murray right this minute, which he's making it clear they have been unwilling to do. He writes here, it is simply up to the Cardinals to decide if they prioritize their rapidly improving 24-year-old, already two-time Pro Bowl quarterback who led the organization from 3 wins to 11 in their first playoff appearance, or rather, if they choose to financially prioritize committing to other areas and continuing to merely talk about addressing Kyler's long-term future as their quarterback. So he's making it clear. Murray wants to be there, but he wants his deal done now and putting the ball very publicly in the court of the Cardinals. You have to read the whole, Danny, I know everyone's just digesting this as we go. It literally was tweeted 2 minutes ago. It's a good job by the crew getting the tweet up there. Dan, I'm going to come to you first here. Just I'm trying to read your face. It is the agent. He's been there 3 years. This is the first time they can address the contract. They certainly don't have to. And the agent is making it sound like they're not willing to, and he wants it done right this minute. What do you think here, Dan?
It's an interesting way about going about business. I'll say that. And it's very indifferent to my brain goes back to how Dak Prescott and his team handled their business. And obviously it paid off for them with their patience and the way they carried themselves. I would say this. Number one, they took Kyler Murray with the first pick of the draft the year after they took a first round quarterback at 10 and Josh Rosen. That shows a commitment. Number two, they have built a very good football team around Kyler Murray. Number three, Kyler had a good year, a borderline really good year, but did not finish and had some health issues. I think it's fair for the football team and the organization to go, let's just continue to work through this together. This is just not the way that we see. Listen, we just went through a segment and talked about how valuable quarterbacks are. You don't think the Cardinals know that they got a really, really special player in Kyler Murray that they probably want there for a long time? I just don't see how this goes off in the way that they should carry their business in the NFL.
I'm literally sitting here reading this letter. I'm dumbfounded. I mean, it is astonishing the level of detail the agent is putting out there. Go ahead, Jeff.
The problem is, Greeny, you say the level of detail. I actually really respect Eric Burkhart, Kyler Murray's agent, but when you do put this out there and say actions speak louder than words, and you attempt to put out this level of detail, but don't actually go as far as to say how much money he's asking for, so we're kind of left to say, hey, he you know, he's trying to be transparent, but we don't know exactly. What if he's asking for $50 million a year? Of course, I mean, right. He's trying to get the court of public opinion on his side, but it's impossible to know that, depending on whether he's being fair or not with what he is proposing to the organization. So I don't know.
Here's what
it doesn't pass the sniff test to me right now.
Jeff, they have, you're correct. There was no detail. They do give you
market value.
They do give some of what they are purporting to be the details of the contract, that it would give the team short-term financial flexibility. They put a bunch of non-detail detail into the statement, but your point is well taken. We don't know exactly what it is they're asking for. I can't recall a time when an agent has been this public in the way they've gone about something like this. Nico, give me a quick thought.
So whatever your market value is here. If you have years left on your contract, your real value is way down here. So unless you want to make a team-friendly deal to where it helps the team and the cap, you're going to have to take a pay cut down the line as far as your value is, because your true value is when you're a free agent and you can test the market. That's what your true value is. He's got a lot of years left on his contract. He's not even close to market value.
Okay, so this is crazy stuff here. Guys, stand by. We're going to take a moment to digest this. We'll come back with much more on this. You have to read the letter. It is really remarkable. In the meantime, today is a monstrous day in baseball as well. If the owners and players do not agree on a new contract by the end of today, the league says that opening day will be canceled, along with potentially a week's worth of games. And as I bring Jeff Passan into the conversation, Jeff, I'm assuming you're going to tell us there is literally no reason to be optimistic they're going to come to some deal before the end of this day.
I suppose, Greeny, if you are the sort of person who believes in miracles, then you think that there could be a deal today. If you are a rational person, if you look at the way that the trajectory of this whole thing has gone, where for 1 year now they've been talking and have just inched forward, then yeah, we're not going to have baseball on opening day, and it's a shame, and it's a horrendous day for the sport, and a lot of people are to blame for this. And it's really... really, as Rob Manfred said himself, a disastrous outcome.
A disastrous outcome. In a nutshell, for the fans who've not been following this closely, because fans don't like to follow collective bargaining, if you can, as quickly and as digestibly as possible, what are they fighting over and how does it get resolved ultimately?
Players feel like they have been beaten up in a number of regards over the last few years, Greeny, financially, having themselves held down when they should have been in the big leagues. And the players are more united, I think, than they have been since the 1994 strike. They're united, they're angry, and they feel like the offers that the league are putting on the table right now simply aren't good enough. And frankly, if you look at the financials of the situation, they're not. So the players are emboldened at this point. They are willing to lose games, and the owners are simply going to try and ride them out as long as they can and see if they can break them.
Super quickly, Jeff, because I just have a moment. We'll stay on top of this. What is the reason this thing ends? To your point, I know how far apart these two sides are. How long could this go?
It could go for a while. I think there are a couple of dates that are important. There could be something next week. There could be progress. The sides could come together. But the big one to know is the end of April. When teams aren't getting their full regional sports network checks for games being on TV, that's a lot of money out of their pockets. And that could be the lever that the players have if it lasts that long.
All right. Again, that's still a pretty long ways away. Jeff Passan, awesome. Thank you. We'll come back to you on this. We got a lot working here this morning. Coming up, much more on the dynamic duo in Philly. You'll hear what Joel Embiid said about his new partnership with James Harden. They look spectacular. Plus, the Packers make another big move to free up cap space for Aaron Rodgers. Could this thing break today? Plus, we'll have much more on that situation with Kyler Murray in the desert. Stay with us. It's busy this morning. Get up on ESPN.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.